In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We rightly understand the different hours to be the age at which someone comes to faith. How long you have been a Christian does not matter. What matters is that you are a Christian, that you have lived in the grace and mercy of God and have received that mercy from Christ himself. But we should also take note of those who are hired first. Just as it does not matter how long you have been a Christian, faith alone saves, so also one could be a Christian his entire life and in the end fall away, even as those who were hired first were sent away. Why is that? Why do some people stop going to church? Why did those hired first fall away? I suppose they would give many reasons, but it seems to always boil down to one. They no longer trust in the mercy and grace of God, but in their works. All the problems of why there is suffering in the world can be explained that it's not fair. Those who are innocent shouldn't have to deal with this. An infant shouldn't have to have cancer. A parent shouldn't have to go through that with their child. It's not fair. And if God were truly right and fair, or if he truly were good, then they wouldn't suffer. But we never make the same argument for the terrorist or the murderer or those who have ruined their lives. To them, we say, you have received what you deserve. And so people stop going to church. They stop believing in Christ because they want to be treated fairly, not equally, but fairly. On the books, that doesn't seem like us. We're Lutheran. We know our history. We know that the Roman Catholic Church broke away from us because they no longer held on to salvation by grace through faith, that God would make us who are sinners equal, all saved in the same way, to the exclusion of what we have done. We rejoice in that. But the problem is, God doesn't judge books. He judges our hearts. And if this parable had nothing to say to us, then Christ would not have preserved it for us on this day. The first thing that our hearts love is our works. If someone were to ask you if you were a good person, you would respond, yes. If I were to ask you, you may delay for a second, but ultimately the answer would be yes. We think of ourselves as good people who, yes, have made some mistakes, but nothing all that serious compared to others. We have tried our best, and that should certainly count for something. God understands that life is hard, that relationships are hard to navigate, and we do lose our temper. We do make poor choices and decisions, but we still have tried to fix them when we have. The vast majority of the time, we have done the right thing and we have sought to help others. We've been self-controlled. We've been responsible. We have prayed multiple times a day. We have studied his word daily. And we have even done those little things that no one knew existed, whether at church, at home, or at work. And we have not sought to boast about it or to gain recognition by it. We have not been sucked into this world's immorality. And to all of that, I say thanks be to God. We should live according to his law. We should strive for holiness and godliness each and every day. We should engage in selfless behavior, self-control. We should be responsible and serve others where God has put us. The problem is not with our works, but our minds dwell on our works. And the more that our mind dwells on our works, the more we are tempted to pride. The more our mind dwells on what we have done, the more we forget the grace and mercy and love of God, and we expect God to treat us fairly. We should not have to deal with liver cancer or lung cancer because we did not drink ourselves to death or smoke like a chimney. It's fair. But then we deal with some other debilitating disease that doesn't meet our goals and doesn't seem like I have deserved this in some way. And so we expect God to treat us according to what we have done. We don't mind the criminals or the terrorists being killed, but us suffering is a bit too much to ask. When we have sought the commands of God and have walked in his ways. So if this Christianity doesn't treat me fairly, if it doesn't make me more happy, if it doesn't reduce my stress, if it doesn't seem to help me out in this life at all, then why would I attend church? When those who are unbelievers deal with the same problems, the same struggles, and often have the same happiness, if not more. And like ancient Israel, we begin to grumble and complain against God, and not against Moses, but perhaps against the pastor. Because this is the life that God has given. He has led us out into a desert where there seemingly is no relief, no water. That sin of pride is easy for us to see in other people, very hard for us to see in ourselves. And so we do well to listen to the complaints of those who are hired first so that we may guard against pride. We do well to listen to the grumbling of Israel so that we learn of our own sinful nature, because that same sinful nature that dwells in them also dwells in us. It's no different. Look at history to study the sinful flesh, and you will see it rising up again and again, and that is what we were by nature. And there sits our flesh waiting, lurking behind a door to jump out and to boast in our accomplishments that we have avoided this and have engaged in this good work. You hear it in every complaint, in every grumbling. Yes, God loves your good works, but he does not love it when you boast about them, when you expect a thank you for making dinner, or when you expect a paycheck for helping someone else. How easily we forget the grace of God. No one is here because they did something for God. That is, no one on this earth is here because they did something for God, and no one sits in these pews because, again, they've done something for God. But God is the one who went out to the marketplace. God is the one who created that life, and he is the one who goes out to call them to newness of life. He could have left us in the marketplace of sin and death. He could have, but he didn't. He spoke to us. He invited us. He did not ask us how we would fit in into his business plan of the vineyard. He simply wanted us there. He didn't care if we were capable or not. He simply wanted to give us a place. And some are far more capable than others. Remembered throughout history for the great works they have done, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Mary, Dr. Luther, among many others, have excelled in the vineyard of God, far above almost all others. They will be remembered throughout history, while we who were hired last, that is, we who have done works, but nothing worthy to be remembered of, we too still live in that vineyard. Because we are all there by the grace and mercy of God. Yes, one may have better works than another, but God is not a respecter of person. He judges the heart. All have been invited by his grace, and so all are made equal. So God has made you equal to the greatest of saints, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Mary, Dr. Luther. You are equal to them. Because the reward of heaven is given by grace as a gift, excluding your works. On earth, there is a big difference But in heaven there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ, saved by the blood of Christ. But there is more than that. Not only are we made equal to the greatest of saints, and they to us, but we are also made equal to Christ himself. He's the one who did all the work. Yet we're the ones who receive all the blessings. He bore our sin, yet we receive forgiveness. He died under our curse, yet we are raised to eternal life. He bled underneath God's wrath, and we are saved. He has earned what no man could earn, and then he freely gives it to us through faith. As he stood in your place as your substitute, so you now stand next to him before God, counted as righteous because of him. So you are declared righteous with the Holy One, who is righteous. You are declared holy with him who alone is holy. You are made a saint with him alone who has been sanctified. You are made immortal with him who has no end. You are pure with him who alone is pure. You are made glorious even as he is glorious. You even rule with Christ right now over all things on this earth, and when he returns on the last day, you will stand with him to judge even the angels. And then you will be brought into his heaven, which is your eternal home. All that Christ is and has is yours, given to you freely by grace through faith. It can only be grace. You sit in these pews only by the grace of God. You kneel at this altar only by the grace of God. You are one with Christ only by the grace of God, because you know that you have grumbled like Israel. You know you have complained like those who were hired first, expecting God to treat you fairly because of what you have done. And still this grace was given to you, that you should be a co-heir with Christ in eternal things. Thanks be to God. But also understand that your fallen flesh does not give up that easily. It is drowned, killed in the waters of baptism, but it still daily must be put to death through contrition and repentance, lest it gain the upper hand over you. It lurks behind the door, waiting to master you, to take control, and to bump you into a sin of pride or despair. So those hired first worked the full day and were sent away. One can be a Christian for most of his life and fall away, even as our flesh will still tempt us to pride, to drive us away from Christ. But it is Christ himself who pulls our eyes away from ourselves and fixes them on him, where he is present for us, the God who saves the sinner. So let this parable sink deep in your hearts to drive out the work righteous, holier than thou attitude that so often rears up its head as we read a book, watch the news, or converse with others. Let us not forget our sinful nature. And maybe we shouldn't forget the sins that we have committed either. God has forgotten them, gone. But maybe they help us to remain humble before God, lest we think of ourselves more deserving than others and fall into pride. We were no better, no more deserving of a pew, and certainly not of heaven. And yet here we sit, co-heirs with Christ of eternal things, not by works, but by grace through faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.